We're going to turn to John's Gospel, chapter 6. John's Gospel, chapter 6. And we're going to read from verse 22. John chapter 6 and verse 22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. We'll end the reading there at verse 35, and we look to the Lord for his blessing upon his own precious word. The last time we looked at Jesus and John, I asked you, are you being hindered by unbelief? As the Lord Jesus Christ continued to defend himself in the company of these Jews who had accused him of breaking the Sabbath, the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with some very important issues. He reminded them of all the great privileges that they had enjoyed. They had enjoyed the witness of John the Baptist, who was the forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ, but they wouldn't listen to John. They'd enjoyed the witness of Christ himself, and he was a greater witness than John, and yet they would not believe on him either. They'd enjoyed the witness of God, for God had revealed himself in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they wouldn't listen to him either. They had enjoyed the witness of the Scriptures, and although they read them daily and could recite much of them, their hearts were so hard and their eyes so blinded, they still didn't know Christ. They could not be convinced about him and who he was and what he had come to do. And their hearts were filled with unbelief. And the Lord Jesus Christ rebuked them for their stubbornness, for he said to them, Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. These people could not be convinced, even though they had seen great manifestations and demonstrations of the Savior's power. These people could not be convinced, even though they had heard the truth from the Lord Jesus Christ's own lips. These people just could not be convinced. even though they had enjoyed one spiritual privilege after another, and Jesus said to them, "You will not come to me that you might have life." And the life that the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to give to them was eternal life. As we come here to John chapter 6 this evening, I want to ask you another question. As you make your way through life, is Christ the object of your desire? As you make your way through life, what are the things tonight that really matter to you? What are the things that are so important to you? In fact, perhaps more important than having this great salvation that God has for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the opening verses of John chapter 6, Jesus Christ has performed another great miracle in the midst of the people, and perhaps this was the most public of all his miracles. It was a miracle performed before a great multitude of people with a little boy's lunch. Just 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he was able to feed more than 5,000 people. And in doing that, the Lord Jesus Christ had proved again, in the midst of these unbelieving people, some very important things. He had proved that he could satisfy the needs of every man. He proved that he knew what to do in every situation, no matter how difficult the situation might appear to be. He proved yet again his messiahship, for this miracle glorified the Father who had sent him into the world. And yet this miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ had just performed was only an introduction to everything that Jesus Christ was going to say about himself. Because after this miracle, the feeding of the 5,000, a number of events are recorded for us by John. We know that Jesus goes up onto the mountain to get alone with God in prayer. And while he's there, the disciples get into a boat. And while they get into the boat and they cross across, they get into difficulties in the midst of a storm. But Jesus came to them yet again, and he met them at the point of need. And then he's confronted again by a large group of people. They had been so impressed by everything that the Lord Jesus Christ had said and by everything that he had done that they wanted to see more and they wanted to hear more. And by this stage in our reading, great throngs of people are following after the Lord Jesus. And it's at that stage we pick up the story. He's in conversation with these people. They wanted to know how he had got across the sea. They wanted to know what he was doing. And Jesus spoke to them about some very important things. The first thing is that he gives a warning to these people. Listen to what he says in verse 27. He says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." The word labor that Jesus uses here is a very interesting word. As he speaks to these people, he wants them to be deadly earnest about spiritual things. He's saying that these people should make salvation the object of their intense desire. You see, they're crowding after Christ because they were excited. They're following after him because they're in an emotional state. They have witnessed him perform the miracle of feeding the 5,000 people with those loaves and fishes, and they're now beside him, and they want more, and they're excited, and they're emotional. They saw in him something that was different from all other men, something special, something significant. It had left a marked impression on their minds. But despite their excitement and all the emotional response to this miracle, these people had no spiritual awareness of who the Lord Jesus Christ was or what he had come to do. And as a result of that, Jesus turns the situation around. He uses it for spiritual gain, as he had done before with Nicodemus and also with the woman at the well. Jesus wanted them to be earnest about spiritual things. He wanted them to make salvation the object of their desire. I notice two things here. I note first of all the attitude of the people. Like many others that the Lord Jesus Christ met during his earthly ministry, these people had a wrong attitude to life. They were not interested in what Jesus was doing by way of miracles. In fact, they were more interested in that than they were about who he actually was. They were much more interested in the physical than they were in the spiritual. They were more interested in the here and now and what was happening than they were in things that were eternal. In fact, they were more interested in the physical needs of their bodies than they were with the spiritual need of their souls. They just witnessed the feeding of the 5,000. They're thrilled by how their needs had been met. And now they're gathered again together for more of the same. But Jesus is more concerned about their spiritual need than he is with their physical need. And that's why he says to them, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. You see, there was a physical hunger which physical food could satisfy. But there was also a spiritual hunger that no physical food could ever satisfy. And the point that Jesus was making was this, that although they were amazed and although their physical need had been met, they had a deep spiritual need that was far more important, and that could not be met by physical food. They needed salvation, and that salvation could be found alone in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was standing in their midst and willing to impart to them life that was more abundant. You know, as I look at these people, I think it's fair to say, and it's certainly true to say, that there are many people in our generation who are like them. Maybe you're one of them. People who live only for the here and now and never give a thought to eternity. It's all about today. And it's all about getting the best out of life now. And it's living only for the here and now and never giving one thought to this great matter of eternity. People who will spend any amount of money on the body to keep their shape and appearance and their good looks, but they never stop once to think about their soul. There are people and they'll jog and they'll swim and they'll diet. And they'll do all kinds of things in order to care for the body, and yet they never give a second thought to the eternal destination of their souls. It's all about the here and now. Can I tell you tonight that your soul is far more important than your body? That's not to say that your body is not important, but your soul is far more important than your body. And that's why you need to be deadly earnest about spiritual things, and you need to show a real concern for salvation. You need to remember that old body of yours is decaying. It'll only get worse, it won't get better. That body of yours is wasting away. My, I sit sometimes and I smile when I see all the different creams, and you'll know I haven't bought any of them, but all the different creams being advertised on television for anti-this and anti-that and anti-the-other thing, and there's all kinds of lotions and potions, and we just cannot halt the process of old age and infirmity. I went to the dentist last Monday morning, and I was sitting there with another young fella, and then he was called and I had to sit on, and just as he went out through the door, another girl came in and she sat down, and she had a little handbag about that size, not very big, like a small lunchbox. Boy, you want to see the stuff she took out of it. She opened it and threw back the lid, and then she started with one after another, and I sat in amazement looking at her until finally she pulled out a paintbrush and I thought she was going to decorate the wall. And then she opened up this big tin of stuff And she had put it on like that there, and I thought if we had her for the refurbishment, she could do the front hall in no time. But you know, I looked at her, just a young woman. In fact, she was barely out of her teens. And I thought to myself, it just proves the point exactly. Far more concerned with the body than we are with the soul. Is that how it is with you tonight? Because if it is, let me tell you this. That body of yours is only the residence that you're living in during your time here on earth. And day after day after day, it's perishing. But when it comes to your soul, that's a different matter. The soul is the most precious possession that we have. The soul will live for all of eternity. And the Bible says, either in heaven with Christ or in hell without him. The value of your soul is immeasurable. The duration of your soul is eternal. And you need to grasp that. Your body's important. Your soul is far more important. And don't get caught up with the things of life that you forget you're going to have to pass through death and go out into eternity. The attitude of the people. Why is it like that? Simply because of the attraction of the world. I can fully understand tonight why so many people are more concerned about the body than the soul. I can understand why people are obsessed more with the here and now than thinking about the eternal welfare of their soul. Because the world is a great attraction for young and old alike. It has so much to offer. Outwardly, it's such a pleasant place with so much potential, with so much opportunity, with so much prosperity, with all kinds of pleasure. But friends, it only caters for the body. It gives no thought to the soul. The world today has many different avenues to cater for the cravings of young men and young women. And not just them, older men and women too. That's why the pubs and clubs have an attraction all of their own. And that's why there are many more people sitting in them tonight than there are in churches here, there and yonder across our province. The disco scene, the drug scene. That's where so many young people want to be. If you haven't tried it, you haven't lived. That's the cry of the world. If you haven't tried it, you haven't lived. The problem is that for that, it's only for a season and there's no lasting pleasure. These things are temporal and these things are tempting, but the tragedy is that so many have gone the way of the world and they fail to realize that until it's too late, they're on a broad road that will one day lead them to destruction. Pastor, how can you be sure about that? Ask the young junkie tonight who cannot kick the habit, who's staring death in the face and wondering why he ever took his first fix. Ask the alcoholic who's wrecked his marriage and his home and lost his job and his license and his friends. He'll tell you it was never worth taking the first drink. Ask those young people who have contacted AIDS and other sexually transmitted diseases, and they'll tell you it was never worth sleeping around. Well, I know the world tonight is appealing, and I know there's so much to excite so many people. But the truth is that the devil paints a pretty picture And he doesn't give you the whole picture until you're enticed and then you're ensnared and then you can find no way out of the mess that you call life. And that's why you need to stop and think about the life that you're living. That's why you need to think about the road that you're traveling. That's why that you need to think about the destination that awaits you. It might not seem important now, but there's a day coming when it will be very important. And you'll live to prove this, that the soul is far more important than the body, that the spiritual is far more important than the physical, and that the whole matter of eternity is far more important than what you think you can get out of life here and now. He gives a warning to these people. I pass it on. He gives an invitation to these people. Maybe you're saying to yourself tonight, well, you know, Pastor, that is the kind of life I've lived. That is the kind of person I am. That's the kind of attitude I have. These things that you're mentioning, these are all the things that I've set my heart upon because I believe this is the way to go. It's the way to go if you want to lose your soul and go out into a lost eternity. It's never the way to go if you want God's salvation and find something that really satisfies. Jesus Christ offered them something that will last. Something which would bring real satisfaction and lasting joy. For here's what he says to them in verse 35 again. He said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. What an invitation. And it is an invitation personally and corporately. He said, he that cometh to me. But as you look at these people, they're slow to grasp what Jesus said. Look at their confusion. He spoke in some terms that they just didn't seem to grasp. He speaks about laboring. He speaks about hungering. He speaks about thirsting. And when Jesus had spoken to them about laboring, they automatically assumed that he was talking about works or something that they could possibly do for themselves. But that wasn't the case. Jesus wasn't talking about any work which they could do. He was talking about the works that he had come to do on their behalf. After all, he had come to do the work of God. He had come that they might believe in him. He had come that they might feed in him the living bread and find in him all that they needed in time and for eternity. He's not suggesting here as some claim, and let me just mention this in passing. He's not suggesting here as some claim that they are to embrace salvation by their own works, because that is not possible. The Word of God makes us very clear about that. No man is saved on the basis of works. He's saved on the basis of grace. Paul makes that very clear in writing to the Ephesians, for he says to them, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You boasting tonight? Perhaps not publicly, but personally, in the depth of your own heart. You feel tonight that there's so much about you that's commendable. You feel that because of the kind of person that you are and your place in society and everything that you've done, that somehow that merits you favor with God. It doesn't. And it ever will. Because this same Bible says that all our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. But hold on a moment, Pastor. You telling me that I'm a moral, upright, good, religious man, and I can't please God the way I am? That's exactly what I'm telling you. Because that's exactly what the Bible tells me. No man is saved on the basis of what he has done. He is saved on the basis of what Christ has done for him on the cross at Calvary. Friend, if you could work your way to heaven, Christ need never have died. If your merits on their own were good enough to please God, Christ need never have died. If you could somehow get to heaven in your own way, then Christ need never have died. But die he did. For he died for your sins and for mine, and that's the way it had to be, for none of us merited salvation. None of us could earn salvation. None of us could buy salvation. Salvation is a free gift of God. These people were confused about that. And when Jesus spoke to them of hungering, he's speaking of the great need that exists within the human heart. When he speaks of thirsting, it's the same idea. He's using terms that they just could not understand. Let me make this as simple as I can for you. When Jesus speaks here about hungering and thirsting, he's talking about those deep, deep needs within the human heart. Man is not only a depraved creature, born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Man also has a hungry soul, and he needs that soul satisfied. And the only way it can be satisfied is through the Lord Jesus Christ and through God's so great salvation. Now, when they couldn't understand that, Jesus said something interesting to them. He reminded them of Moses and their forefathers, how that God had made provision for them in the wilderness. They understood that. That was a lesson from the past that they could easily identify with. And when they got this clear in their own mind and they understood it, they knew that God had made provision for them in the wilderness. And without that provision, they would have died in the wilderness. And Jesus says to them, listen, the bread which fell in the wilderness was miraculous and wonderful, but it's nothing compared to the true bread which had come down from heaven. And he himself was that bread sent from heaven. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is God's provision for a dying world. He had come down from heaven to do the work of God and to meet man's deep spiritual need. He had come to give life to dead souls, to give light to those living in darkness, and to bring hope to those living in the depth of despair. And I tell you tonight, friend, that's great news as far as you're concerned. That is great news. They had just witnessed a great miracle in the feeding of the 5,000. But Jesus hadn't come to feed the body. He had come to feed the soul. He had come that their spiritual need might be met, that in him they might find life, and that they might be abundantly satisfied. I don't know the life that you're living. I don't know the places where you go. I don't know the things that you deem to be important in your life. I don't know the things that you may say abundantly satisfy you. But here's the point, and don't miss it. If Christ is not the object of your desire, then you're living a wasted life. If you're not feeding your soul on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting in him and in him alone, whatever it is you're trusting in is futile. If you miss the Lord Jesus Christ, you miss everything that's important in life and for eternity. They were confused about all of this. Not only would they not come to him that they might have life, they couldn't understand what Jesus was saying to them. And he was reminding them that their deep spiritual need could be met in him. They could be abundantly satisfied. Listen to their consideration. He says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. One of the great I am sayings of Christ. And he said something that they needed to grasp and something that we need to grasp too. He and he alone was sent by God to meet your need and my need too. That's why we often sing those words of the hymn writer. Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's life and love and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Do you know what the lament of my heart was for many years? I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed, and even as I stooped to drink, they mocked me, and I wailed. Are you being mocked tonight? You're sitting in the meeting and you remember those days when you walked with Christ, and tonight you're back in the world, and he's no longer the object of your desire. You're finding satisfaction in the world, but the truth is it doesn't really satisfy. You know it. You know it. Well, listen, friend, Christ is waiting to take you back to himself. Waiting this evening to turn you around. Longing that you might leave those broken cisterns and come back to the place where you used to be. And find the light and that soul of yours once more, knowing what it is to walk with God and in the light of his word, and knowing intimacy in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you are not saved tonight, but you're looking for satisfaction. You want life with a capital L. You want some kind of lasting joy, but here's the problem. You're looking for it in all the wrong places. You're looking for it in all the wrong places. And while you remain there, you'll never know the life that Christ has come to give. There are many drinking of the broken cisterns, living lives that are empty and futile, and yet they could be feasting their souls in Christ. Friend, listen. The Lord Jesus Christ can meet you at the point of your need. He can satisfy the longing in your sin-sick soul. But you're going to continue on, looking for that which will never satisfy in the things of this old world. Because as far as you're concerned, the here and now is still far more important than eternity. Because you're convinced that your body is far more important than your soul. You've got it wrong. You've got it wrong. And there'll be a day come when you know you've got it wrong. And you'll wonder why you wasted your life and you lost your own soul when night after night after night, Jesus, for your choice, was waiting. He says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. The hymn writer simply says this, that blessed invitation, oh, hear today and heed, the Spirit now is calling, why longer dwell in need? Thy soul today is fainting for Christ the living bread. Accept the invitation, come while the feast is spread. You need to be earnest about spiritual things. You need to realize that your soul is more important than your body. You need to seek God's so great salvation and make the Lord Jesus Christ the object of your desire. Now let's bow together in prayer. Are you in the world tonight, away from the Savior you used to walk with and talk to and live for? Don't remain any longer at those broken cisterns. Come back to Christ tonight. He's waiting to embrace you and restore unto you the joy of your salvation. You're not saved tonight. Don't neglect your soul. It's far more important than your body. And remember this, it will last forever, either in heaven with Christ or in hell without him. Father, we thank you that man's deep spiritual need can be met in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he has come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Grant our Father that we'll take heed to these things and realize that this old world in which we live is temporal and fleeting and will soon be passed. And yet there's a great eternity that we have to face. May the Lord Jesus Christ be the object of our desire, and may our faith be planted firmly in him, for Jesus' sake. Amen.